For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit TFormers.com. You're watching Radio Free Cybertron with your hosts, Brian Kilby, J.D. Church, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, Lady Reg, Weebum, featuring XV. This is the Radio Free Cybertron 12th Anniversary Special.
Yep, this is the 12th anniversary of Radio Free Cybertron.
Yay. Woo! Hey. Everybody here today.
Yes.
12 years and still not a life.
That's true. Absolutely true. Also, I want to share this now that Ender's here.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, now with 100% more Ender.
Awesome. Okay, hey, yeah. Radio Free Cybertron, Brian Kilby with me this week. J.D. Church, Peter Van, John DeLuna, Liddy Wreck, and again, for the second week in a row, Ender.
What are the odds?
Yeah, I know. Still no XV.
Turning into a habit.
That guy.
Funny how you never see us together.
Yeah. I have never seen you two in the same place at once. I've never actually met XV in person, though, so...
Can't be really sure he exists.
I'm really not. Except he did want to move in with me at one point, which I've mentioned that on the show. He did not. So, hey, this is actually kind of, sort of, our 12th anniversary show. The 12th anniversary is on on Saturday, but we'll say it's the 12th anniversary.
Do you have a clip? Can you play the opening clip of your original show?
I've done that before.
It's so great. It's so classic.
I need to make that one of the sound effects on my board. I do have this.
This is Radio Free Cybertron. This week with 100% less XV.
But that really doesn't count.
That is a specific sample for you.
Yes. I try to send Mike stuff to record for me because I don't. I just bundle everything. It's like, oh, I can do that. So I'll write it down, and 6 months later, I'll send it to him. So
see, what would have been awesome is last week if you could have had it say, like, with 50% more Ender.
I should have. That
37% less XV.
Yeah, actually, there's no XV on this week. He didn't even do the show notes, so he's not going to be on New Soundwave either. He's sick. So, no Rob Clay either, so. But yeah, this is Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers Internet radio show, and seriously, like, one of the world's first podcasts. If you don't know who we are, are the official podcast of TFormers.com, and we are pretty freaking awesome, I do have to say so myself. So, let's go ahead and jump into the news. So to celebrate New York Comic Con 2011, the Transformers Prime Bumblebee and RC Special Edition set from Hasbro features unique Big Apple versions of the characters from the animated series. There's a taxi cab Bumblebee who's actually kind of cool looking, and I don't see how this is really New York-y, but there is a G1 colored RC, which just looks awful.
Yeah, I don't get the that's New York thing, because I get the Bumblebee thing, sort of. I mean, because I can't tell you how many times when I was in New York, I rode in a Camaro-ish taxi.
Yeah.
It's practical.
Yeah, because it doesn't have a backseat.
Right.
But, yeah, that RC looks really bad. I mean, really, really bad. Like, totally wasn't designed around that color scheme at all.
But I kind of like it. Admittedly.
No.
You don't?
You're wrong. No, that RC is terrible.
Yeah. The RC is wrong. RC is, like, awful. But I kind of like
Bumblebee.
Bumblebee
is good. Oh, yeah, no, the Bumblebee is good.
Also,
Bumblebee,
I like Mountain Dew Game Fuel. It's the best thing ever.
Well, yeah. There's that. No, the Bumblebee looks good. I mean, the Bumblebee is pretty much the same as color scheme as just with the added taxi stuff. So, I mean, nothing wrong there, but the RC is really, really bad.
It's awful. It shouldn't exist. It's one of those things that you look at it and, like, why?
Is
why in heaven?
RC? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's the pink RC.
It's kind of sad because everyone's like, I want a G1 Art, G1 Deco RC, and I was just like, oh my god.
Terrible. Never mind.
Yeah. Such.
All right, stop doing it, please. Just let it go.
Sorry.
We don't want it anymore. We no want. No want.
God.
I want stupid Transformers Prime RC, doggone it.
Yeah, no, like, how about it?
She's not pink. She's blue.
She's
I would totally go for that.
Well, it's the exclusive.
Once this is on Hasbro Toy Shop the next day, are any of us ordering this?
How much is it? 25?
Yeah, it won't be.
$33.
It'll be like $30. Yeah, $33.
It's like $33.
No.
As much as I wanted toys from Transformers Prime, none of them really blow me away. Bulkhead looks great and all.
I'd rather have my toes severed, I think.
Well, these aren't that great. I mean,
you could do that.
The regular Deco Bumblebee looks good, and if I recall, Starscream looks good, but Optimus, you know, this Deco
Optimus looks bad.
Yeah, RC.
I actually, for the most part, like the toys from Prime. What I've seen, anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to get them, but...
Yeah. They look good when they're transformed properly, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like War for Cybertron. Like, a year or two back when that popped up, the Optimus Prime was released, and he was missing parts, and I was like, eh. Of course, then I got the toy, and I'm like, eh.
Yeah, but it was a slightly more positive eh.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of worth $10. I have still never transformed that Optimus Prime.
Oh, dear.
He's never been in vehicle mode.
Mm.
Which one is that?
War for Cybertron.
I don't think you're missing
my kid's head with vehicle mode. I haven't opened a lot of my stuff for a while. Just for
yeah, no doubt. I don't doubt that. This is the first time. Last week was the first time I actually spoke with you in like a year and a half. So.
Yeah. I'm so late. I don't know what day of the week it is, man.
It's Wednesday. It's always Wednesday when we do this, except for that week
yeah,
when we did it on Thursday.
Knowing that it's Wednesday is the trick for me.
True. Okay, so in more New York Comic Con news, get ready, New York City. The Transformers Creon characters are taking Manhattan for the New York Comic Con that kicks off on the 13th. Check out images at tformers.com. Yeah, it is tomorrow for the cool little guys who are doing up the city after the jump. I don't know what that means. Peter wrote it. Be sure to keep it dialed to tformers.com.
It's in the gallery.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there you go. I just literally
he
lifted the show
invented the podcast,
notes.
But he doesn't
Jesus
know what
Christ,
the jump is.
Ron Burgundy. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. XV usually writes it, and he edits everything. I just copy and paste from T-Formers, so that's the secret of my trade.
I love those things.
Oh, God, yes.
I want one. I'd wear
that. Can you imagine walking down New York City and then just... two giant, like, costume people just walk towards you as
New Yorkers would be unfazed.
Yes, that's
true. That's true. They've got other things to worry about, like
they are totally
Wall Streeters.
Yeah, like
where they're trying to. Yeah, like where they are trying to go. You know what New York want? They want you to get the heck out of their way. That is exactly what
I love. Creon so much. I actually finally picked up Creo Mirage this week so that I could get the Creon. He was the first Creon that I actually own because I was disappointed that the Bumblebee I picked up was Creonless. I forgot who it was. I think it might have been DefCon who was saying at TFCon a Hasbro rep said that the Creons would be available separate from the Creo sets in 2012, which is the best news ever because I would buy a million of them.
Oh, God. I love those things.
Yes.
They're like the... I haven't even built one of those sets yet, but I have a couple of them just because I desperately wanted the Creons.
Yeah,
Prowl even smirks like me. It's awesome.
So yeah, they do. They're like little Enders. The Target, I noticed the display that had like all of them in it, and I'm like, can I buy this?
I don't know. I keep looking. Like, can I like sneak that under my coat? Nah, I noticed that.
I'm certain it'll go to
tuck it under the car seat.
It'll be RTM'd or something. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I want it. I saw a set for the whole thing going for like $150 on eBay, and I would never consider it. I think Kim's listening, but I would love to have it. Yeah, she hears me. Okay.
Well, I heard that.
Fan of Lego.
That was
Lego's
awesome.
Quality level. I gotta say that the little Creons are actively superior to little.
You
Lego
think so?
People.
Really?
I think they are an actual improvement.
How?
Just the joints.
Yeah, it has
just,
more.
It's just
it has more.
Those things were designed like they have really changed since like they were like first put out in probably like 1970 something.
You know, 60s,
that technology level has never been changed.
But I think
it's
iconic. It's intentional.
Well, no, it's
though.
Iconic.
Yeah,
but it's something to like. Actually, you could have a little Lego person that is really articulated and has some detail and some options for how they look and what they do.
Yeah,
I think you know, nobody's really done that really well before. They're just kind of copying verbatim. The iconic look, and it's just really cool to get something like, wow, that's like an actual improvement.
That's actually a good point, because Lego's strength is that it's Lego.
I wouldn't want Lego to change their thing, but like...
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Hasbro, of course, can't make Lego because they're Hasbro. Because Lego is Lego.
Creo.
Yeah, which is nothing at all like Lego.
The dash.
No, that's actually a really good point. I like the shoulders. I like the legs that the legs have. Like, you can actually, they're articulated. That's a very good point. I agree.
After the built to suck line, they're just such a relief.
Oh God, built to rule is the worst thing ever.
God, it was terrible.
But it's built to rule.
I actually took the first Prime set and took it apart after building it the first time and put it back together in a better robot than it came in. Like, like there was actually things you could do with the parts that were better than the actual design to make
it. Oh,
like
no doubt. No doubt.
Right. But it wasn't even symmetrical.
And you can tell that the designers at Hasbro really aren't, they haven't quite got like the methodology on how to design a Lego set. Like with Bumblebee, there are places where he really needs an extra brick to like hold his shoulders in place, because if he had an extra brick that would, because his shoulders can just pop off, there's nothing to basically cement it in place. And the engineers who are designing it aren't quite there, but it's really good. Actually, I was thinking, it has really nothing to do with that, but Built to Roll came out around Armada. If it had come out a little bit earlier, it would be great if they could have remolded the spy changers to have, like, places where you can, like, attach them to the bricks. Because, of course, I love spy changers, and I would buy as many as I could, especially if they were compatible with Lego.
There's no good could come from Built to Suck.
It was pretty
bad. Even the bricks were just so inferior. They just, like, there was just no grip to them at all. They just fell apart. It was just a
One thing I do like about Built to Rule, not Transformers, but the G.I. Joe vehicles actually came with, like, real G.I. Joe figures. So, and one of them was Wetsuit. It was actually a pretty decent version of Wetsuit.
They can make the vehicles okay. And then they were like, okay, now we're going to make a robot out of the vehicles. And it was like, you know, you really need to try to do those, like, designs at the same time somehow. it just seemed like they were trying to hodgepodge it together after, like, all right, it looks like the car. Now we got to think that make a good leg. Yeah, let's do that. And then just, like, throw some joint parts in there, those little, like, awful ball jointy things. And it was like, you do realize, like, there's this thing called gravity, and they will, you know, kind of bend on those, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, because it was just, you know, the robots just ended up, they were just a pile.
One thing that I really do like about Creo is that Hasbro could, I mean, I'm certain the engineers are like, well, we've got to use the same number of bricks for both modes. No, they're intentionally leaving bricks out. You don't have to use all of the bricks for both modes. It's like, in my mind, if I were designing it, I would want to use them all. Kind of like how we're all sort of programmed to try to stick all the weapons on a combiner once we put it together. Like Voltagus, we actually figured out a way to do it.
I'd settle for a little compartment on the toy where the extra bricks could be stowed. And I'm sure they're sitting there going, like, you know, we have these extra ones left over. It's like, oh, should try to cram them on somewhere? And it's kind of like, how about when we have a 75-year history of quality and, you know, experience doing this, we'll be like Lego and use all the pieces. But for now, how about, like, we make our toys, like, not suck, like those other ones we had that, you know,
did suck. Very true. God, I want to go out and get,
like,
all of
we built
rule
them
stuff. Actually, you know, there's more Comic-Con stuff. Images from Hasbro's New York Comic-Con preview night includes Transformers Prime, Cyberverse, Megatron, Starscream, Optimus Prime, Bulkhead, and Wheeljack, and we should have pictures soon, so that will be pretty cool.
We're working on them right now. I'll let you know when we get them.
Okay.
Sweet.
So Transformers Collectors Club and G.I. Joe Collectors Club will be there, and we'll have some previews of some of their stuff as well.
Yeah, should.
Sweet.
Should, I don't see why we wouldn't.
They have more pictures of their G.I. Joe, their G.I. Joe subscription service. That would be really awesome.
Subscription service?
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be superior to Maddie in some
way. How could it not?
Yeah. I still think TFG1 Mike actually goes back and listens to your rant on Maddie Collector, and like in his he sleeps to it.
I might go back and listen to it. My kids are all into Masters of the Universe right now, so I'm just like,
why?
How?
Because it Netflix.
Kids do what they do, right?
Oh.
So they're watching classic Masters of the Universe.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, absolutely. good.
They're like they watch the other one, too. They're not.
They're trying too hard with the 2002 series.
Yeah,
it was okay.
We were trying to update it, but it was like they made everything look better and work better, but then they didn't really update the story format at all. It was like, didn't need it. And they lost a lot of the charm, I think, too, that came with. I think what that show really has going for it, if you go back and watch it, it's they had that child psychologist really script at it the whole show, every episode. So the lessons are really fantastic. It speaks really well to kids, and it's just, I mean, it is really well constructed in a way that, you think of something like a kid show, Blue's Clues or something, right? With okay, now this guy's going to talk to your kid in a colorful shirt with to get a kid's attention. He-Man really gets a kid's attention.
He's ripped.
Well, I mean the format of the show, they really talk. I don't know what kind of kid you were, but the rippedness got my attention. It was just what is that thing he's wearing? Is that a bra? What's going
on? I don't know.
I'm trying not to look too hard. It's okay, just hit the guy, will you?
I was waiting.
He-Man never hit, really. That's why he punches the screen. He couldn't punch people.
Yeah.
He almost never uses his sword for anything. Really look.
It's true.
He literally will not cut down a living tree.
Aww.
When it's resuscitated. He will not.
When it's resuscitated.
When it's necessitated. Hey, we should cut down this tree and get across. It's no, it's a living thing. Hey, dude,
really?
I'm sorry.
I was way too into Masters of the Universe. I remember thinking that Fisto is the best character ever. Just because of his beard. I don't know.
My son and daughter are going to be He-Man and She-Ra for Halloween this year.
Awesome.
That's
I'm trying
cool.
to make them costumes, because they don't make kids costumes of that, obviously.
Yeah, they make adult costumes.
The Thor crap works out really well for most of the She-Ra stuff.
That makes sense. Actually, they make adult She-Ra costumes. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
Which is a little weird. Actually, so Takara's going to be releasing some more Transformers United stuff. We're getting Rodimus Convoy, who basically looks like the, not the Sons of Cybertron, but the Battle in Space. It looks exactly like it. We're getting Warpath, Thunder Megatron, who I want, even though I'm not crazy about that mold, but I love the colors. Thunderwing, Windcharger, and Wipeout. So, get your Windcharger there.
That Windcharger. I never did grab it, did I?
And Axelon, which was who? Cybershark?
Yeah, Cybershark.
Yeah, and Arc Unicron. I never actually picked up that Unicron mold. I want that. Optimus Primal. I do have that mold, but I like that color scheme. And Beast Megatron also have that mold. That color scheme isn't radically different than the other. But
I don't think the Optimus one is either.
It's a little different, isn't it? Orange and it. I don't have
tell if it
Transformers,
is.
Transformers United is like this big conglomeration of a lot of the best and most harkening back toys from the last 5-6 years. It's wow, that's what I buy all the time.
It's kind of
I have all of those.
It's almost like an extension of what the Robot Heroes line, which was kind of pulling stuff. It's basically like the U.S. Generations line.
What a Maddie Collector and Robot Heroes and within a year.
Wow. I'm
trying to get my dander up.
But, yeah, man, I really want that Windcharger set.
I'm still bitter.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Actually, yeah, Axelon looks nice, too.
I still see new toy lines that are made to, emulate all those Heroes lines. A little two-pack format.
Oh, not Robot Heroes. Robot Masters, sorry.
Oh, Robot Masters, okay.
Yeah, sorry, Robot Masters.
I wasn't sure where you were going with that either.
That was close. You almost got him there.
Yeah
sorry.
I was so angry at Hasbro when you brought up that I completely missed mocking you for, saying the wrong thing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Robot Masters.
It's a ploy!
Robot Masters, sorry. Speak too soon. But yeah.
Japanese thing.
Yeah, Windcharger and Wipeout look great. Need those desperately. 3,600 yen, so that'll be, $25 or so?
That's not bad. And then to import it's another 50, so $100 you can get those guys.
And Peter says, pictures in 10.
Yay!
Yay, fantastic.
And stall the show.
So, okay.
Yeah, talk slow.
So, this kind of hurts a little bit. Transformers Dark of the Moon is the fourth highest grossing film of all time.
Okay. It's a good movie. I've watched it.
Why does that hurt?
Without inflation, that's cute, but it doesn't really mean anything except it made a boatload of cash. It's not really any kind of like empirical judgment against other movies and how much they made. It's really hard to, when you say like all time, it's like, okay, how many theaters was it in? How many, when did it open up?
And they re-released it too.
Did it have a, 14-day opening weekend?
Yeah.
It made most of its money. It made most of its money overseas is what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I've watched it.
This doesn't really mean anything, is what I'm saying. This particular, I'm not saying it made every dollar it made, and that, that's valid. But to, look, it made this much versus these things. If you completely discount all the meaningful, other numbers, it's like, okay.
But, man, fourth.
But it's not fourth. That four is the number that doesn't mean anything.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying is like...
I know, like Gone with the Wind.
Amount of money. It's a crap load, but it's not the fourth highest whatever. Maybe it's the first. It could be, all manner of things. If you don't actually factor all these things in, which is almost impossible, but given the actual way movies are released, but if inflation isn't in there, it means nothing.
Gone with the Wind is absolutely what, first nothing, with inflation.
I think Gone with the Wind might still be first with inflation. And, it's really hard to judge some of these kinds of things, too, because there are so many more screens and places, and they charge X amount more per seat, even, given inflation. Like, how does that quantify? I mean, it's just like, it's not really a meaningful number.
It means a lot to the investors.
Well, they did do it in 3D.
Just someone not paying about it,
and his second mansion.
Yeah,
I'm sure this is great for the people, for Michael Bay running around, trying to get not like work
they,
to get
they
a lot
played it in 3D, right? So if they were playing it in 3D only in some places, then yeah, they were paying more for that. So they probably got more, they grossed more because they were watching it in 3D.
It is gross, not net.
The market's work is completely incomparable. It's just a silly number to bring up. It's one of those, it's like you can't calculate that. It's not a meaningful evaluation. I mean, you just bring up Gone with the Wind. It's like, okay, you can apply inflation to that and compare. But then it's like, okay, now compare screen numbers, showing times. I mean, things like, Star Wars, for instance, when Star Wars was in theater the first time, like movies came out, they were in theaters for 2 weeks and then they were gone. And that was how things worked. And it was crazy that it kept coming back and people kept wanting to see it more and over again. But it really was like on a limited number of screens for a limited amount of time. When it made that boatload of money. And those people were lined up around the block because, man, movies were in theaters for 2 weeks. And there was no such thing as a VHS, to my understanding. So it was like, that was it. So the whole thing, it's just an incomparable thing. I think this kind of number is just silly.
Yeah.
I agree.
Still a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. I wish I had it.
Big corporate, giant, too many decimals, friggin' number. Yeah, that's large and impressive and
it's more than the
sad
last
statement on our species. But it's yes, that's impressive. But it doesn't it's not the fourth anything.
Still a good movie. I watched it twice in as many days.
It's watchable. It's watchable.
I haven't seen it.
You've got it. You should see it.
That's not much of a commendation.
When we do the commentary, if you could watch it on your first viewing while we do that, that would be great.
Oh my god.
First reactions, that would be...
F-bomb this, F-bomb that.
It's just going to be a never-ending cascade of swearing.
I'm fine with that.
I'd probably be able to get all the things I wanted to say out. And
that would
the other
be fantastic.
Kind of,
we'll have to do two viewings.
Yeah. That's just it. You'll probably only be able to get me to watch it once. That's how many times I've seen Revenge of the Fallen.
Yeah, Revenge of the Fallen was awful, though.
But it's not... Revenge of the Fallen, I can't even bring myself to rewatch it, Like, it's on TV, and I'm like, there's something else.
Dark of the Moon,
watch.
I mean,
only
yeah.
One
but
part
Dark of the Moon
was a passable effort. It's very watchable.
Yeah, I find myself wanting to watch it more, just because it's fun to watch. There's not as much of a developed plot... Like with holes in it.
You haven't even finished the sentence before we got to the caveats that are of the catastrophic variety.
No. Like, look, here's the problem with Revenge of the Fallen, right? I mean, not a problem with Revenge of the Fallen. It tried to be so complicated, it had so many points to its plot, that there were so many holes in that plot, it almost couldn't resolve itself. But Dark of the Moon basically has no plot, so there's really no holes in it, because there's no plot.
Yeah.
It's really just fighting and stuff, so it's fun.
Which side of this argument were you on?
What do you want? Shakespeare? No, it's a robot. No.
Iron Man 2!
We already had the discussion about Iron Man 2 a long time ago.
I don't mean to end this personally, because I think it's a real knee-jerk reaction that people say. It's a common phrase. But the, like, what do you want, Shakespeare? It's like, really? Really? That's what you think my problem is?
Shakespeare, too, though.
Shakespeare? Well, that's what I went to this action movie expecting, and that's my problem? Really? Like, come on.
Well, my point is more that...
Say that it's like, that's a gross overstatement of anything I'm saying. And it's like, it is possible to make, like, comic or cartoon-based movies in the current era that are really good. Or even, like, decent. Like, and the other two weren't. I haven't seen this one.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think there's as many things to have a problem with, because it's not as complicated as Revenge of the Fallen tried to be. So it doesn't have. I mean, I'm sort of exaggerating, but in the sense that the plot isn't so complicated that it doesn't get bogged down in the plot.
And it's also just not a total wreck like Revenge of the Fallen was.
And I've read that. And the thing is, too, the other problem I have with it is, like, since I was forced to endure the other two movies, the fact that its plot doesn't line up with their plot in any way, shape, or form is kind of hard to deal with. Like,
how so?
I don't forget that those ones happened. Megatron in particular, like, makes no sense through the movies. He's chasing this cube for 1,000 years, shows up to go tell the Fallen he couldn't find it. The Fallen's like, oh, I didn't really want it anyway. Then, like, they go do something else, and then it's like, okay, so while you were chasing the cube, and the Fallen didn't want it anyway, and the Fallen had this other plan that he was going to do, that he's really your boss, and you also had this sideline going with this Autobot who's been also asleep, you know, by chance in the same solar system for all this. It's like, did you wave hi to him when you crashed into the ice?
No spoilers.
I mean, I don't know exactly how the logistics.
Yeah, Inter hasn't seen it.
But it is just like, oh, come on. I just got, you know,
I think it will fit together better. Yeah, I can.
Persistent moral idiocy. And I read that and was like, yeah, that's about what I expected.
Yeah.
Like, hearing somebody else say, like, I saw it and it was that, it's like, that sounds about like what I would expect. And I have no particular urge to rush out and see a work of ineffable soullessness and persistent moral idiocy. I just have other stuff to do.
Like,
so you'll complain about something you haven't seen yet with assuredness that you won't.
Its predecessors are bad enough that I have no particular need to see it to know that it is also, in fact, probably very bad.
Issues and problems.
Despite the fact that at least
many other people have, and they're lined up with what my previous experiments have shown me is the likely outcome. I have seen this trajectory, and like, oh, look, somebody saw it. They said it goes right there. Now, I could see it and feel differently. That's entirely possible. But it is extremely unlikely. Like, I'm going to be an astronaut. Unlikely.
Actually, having seen it a couple of times, I think Andrew would probably hate it.
Probably.
Yeah. Hey, I have to agree with that.
I get verification from people like that. I don't need to see it to know that it's probably too bad.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, you're right, because, I mean, he wouldn't like it anyway. So it doesn't matter how good it is. I mean, it doesn't matter
that I take exception with. If it was good, I'm sure at some point, either commentary or something like that, I will be compelled to, you know, grow carbuncles sitting there watching this thing, but
see, you're already
if it's good,
like
if
it.
It's
so you're
good,
not even
I'm sorry, I am not like that with stuff. If it's good, if I enjoy it, I will say I enjoyed it. I will not I am like, this is my hobby. I'm like totally into this stuff. Do you have any idea how bad those other movies had to be for me to not care about this one? It's crazy.
I think it's like if somebody told you
when your mother is crossing the street and gets hit by a bus, you'll go, eh. What has to happen to make it that true? And that's what happened with those two movies.
Without going too deep in, I think I can sum it up why Ender would hate it in 5 words. We will kill them all.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's go ahead and jump to the next item. So, while we just learned this week, or I guess last week, that High Moon Studios and Activision Publishing will be releasing Transformers Fall of Cybertron, the follow-up to last year's well-received Transformers War for Cybertron, later this year, it'll be on December 1st, 2012.
That's a
long time to wait, yeah. What, Peter?
It's probably well worth it.
Possibly. It's a Saturday, so it'll most likely... it'll come out probably for the holidays, you know?
And you'll have, like, 2 weeks to play it before the world ends.
That's true. So, and of course, it'll be released for the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, and the game synopsis is included. We actually got a screenshot of it to see what Optimus will look like, and he's kind of big and bulky.
He looks better in the video than he looks in the screen.
I didn't watch the video.
I was reading that they actually described him as a fist with wheels.
Yeah.
That's kind of awesome.
That was pretty awesome. That guy was like, it's a fist with wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they built it. Yep.
Good.
They built a new engine. They built a new technology for the transformation for the figures. So,
oh, cool.
All the resolutions for the robots are going to be higher. And the transformation schemes are going to be more complex. And, like, in War for Cybertron, they were just, like, once in a while, one of these pieces would kind of, like, shift here and there. Apparently, it's going to happen even more, more often, and it's going to look a lot nicer as well. So.
I just want it to be like Beast Machines, where there's a flash of light and they're a robot.
Yeah,
I loved War for Cybertron. I love High Moon Studios. I can't wait for this game. And bless them for having this news come out in just the right spot so that after that last discussion, I can be like, oh, I'm sorry, that's right, I'm Ender. I just hate everything irrationally. Oh, wait, except for this, which I'm, like, chomping at the bit for. Like, can't wait to, like, play into the ground for the next 10 years. I think the problem with the rest of the franchise is that, like, High Moon is, like, taking all the awesome that there could possibly be in the Transformers, and there's just, like, none left for the other media. This game was fantastic, and I can't wait to play this one.
I need to play the first one. I have it, and I played it for, like, 10 minutes.
Brian, do you have it on Xbox?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't even got to try it out yet.
I played it for, like,
awesome.
20 minutes.
You guys are missing out.
On
it's
the
cool.
DS. I have it for both. I actually bought it for the DS, like, during BotCon, and I haven't played it. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
I hate flying, and I hate traveling, and I, like, hauled my ass out to California to go play the demo for this a couple weeks
ago. No, you went to Vegas, man. You hate Vegas?
No. Vegas was for the Revenge of the Fallen game.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. Which was a decent game, but let me tell you, that is not another notch in Revenge of the Fallen's belt. God, I hate Vegas. It's a 3-mile hole in the middle of an otherwise perfectly good desert.
Wow.
So,
place invented by gangsters because they couldn't be mean enough to each other in New York.
That's great.
That's true, though.
We also got pictures of the weapons in Game Informer, which I just recently got another subscription to. So,
nice. They have a digital one now, you know.
Do they?
Yeah.
Cool.
I did it just to get, like, discounts on buying used crap. And there's actually a Groupon for the Transformers pinball game. Now it's like $4,500 as opposed to...
Did you say Groupon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Groupon rocks.
Yeah, Groupon is pretty awesome.
I'm not sure anyone should ever say that word again.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Jesus.
What?
Should it only be red?
I'm not...
It almost
I think that's one
bad.
Of those words. Like, what?
Groupon.
Groupon.
Hey, Groupon's great if you read the fine print, right, Brian?
Yeah, so apparently that one I just picked up is not eligible in my state, so I had to mail it to JD.
Illegal in your state?
Yeah, it's not eligible.
Right.
Not sure Groupons are legal out here.
Definitely not in North Carolina.
Observe your local.
You can't have a Groupon with your wife in certain ways in North Carolina.
Nice.
Yeah. So hey,
knew it was going there.
So comics news. Actually, so for comics news, let's go ahead and go to Amy Morgan. So take it away, Amy.
It's now time for comic news with Amy Morgan.
Okay, so out is Classics UK Volume 1. I've talked about this a couple different places, but Chris McFeely supposedly talked about how he had got his copy. So if you guys haven't had a chance to put your pre-orders in for the Classics UK...
Amy.
So good, it blew up her phone line.
The good thing is that Amazon still has the pre-orders for it, so I got mine in. Yay! Even came out.
How much is it, Amy? Sorry.
It was like $18, $19.
You actually broke up at that point. What was it that you said?
Oh, I said it was $18, $19.
At the beginning you broke up. So what is the $18 or $19 bucks?
I'm sorry. It's the Classics UK Volume 1.
Really?
Yep.
Cool.
Story is included in this?
I don't have all my notes right now. I just kind of threw it out there.
The Man of Iron.
Huh?
Sorry.
I'm not... Like, I don't know everything that's going to be in it because I only... I don't know. It's a good question. I can figure it out and I can tell you later, but...
It's probably something like Man of Iron. It's like, crap, I already read this like 30 years ago. I don't want to read this crappy story again.
The good thing about it is that James Roberts has poured a lot of love and research and interviews from all of those that have worked on it in the past.
Well, oh, wow, it's got a nice cover.
Oh, yeah. And he's also supposedly...
Ooh, I like that.
When Chris looked, when he was talking about it, he said that the first 20-plus pages are just the extra interviews and stuff that James Roberts has been able to gather since being put on that project. So it's going to have a lot of extra stuff in it. You don't want to miss it because of that. So get it in now.
I'm a big fan of Mr. Roberts.
Yeah, he's good. He's passionate about this. So I think he put more into it than most people would. So
let's see here.
It's been really interesting to talk with him and out about that. So.
What's the date? It doesn't have a release date, does it?
It's going to be out soon. Because
October 25th.
People in the UK are already getting copies of it, or at least have it in the comic shops, because Chris McFeely has his own comic shop. So he said he had it in hand. If he's got it in hand, it's coming out. So.
I want to know what the stories are before I plunk down any emails, because I probably already have them in one
form. Get another collection of the crap you already have, but slightly nicer. Ever so slightly.
New packaging, same product.
Yeah, I can't pick it up till I know what's in it. Even though the cover is nice, I can't justify it.
Okay, I'm. Just give me a second, pad a little bit here.
But that is nice cover.
Pat it with the toys.
Yes, okay, so we have pictures of something or other that Peter wants us to see. So,
that's a good idea. Go for it.
Oh, neat. Boys, okay.
I don't mean to force it onto you guys.
I'll put it over here.
I'll take it.
Now it's side by side with me on the screen. For people watching, I'll move it over to the second monitor.
Those legends are awesome looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I quite like these.
I really like the bulkhead. So this is what? Yeah. It's Cyberverse, Transformers Prime stuff.
Yeah, Transformers Prime, Cyberverse, bulkhead. We got a Prime going on in there. We got a Megatron. And a Decepticon trooper, if that's your thing. And in the background...
Cliff Jumper!
I'm just going to get the Cyberverse stuff. Screw getting the more expensive stuff. This looks awesome.
Yeah, it's interesting that they call them, like...
Just get one or two of these, but...
Yeah.
Okay, maybe the Starscream. Mm-hmm. Wait, that's Cyberverse too, isn't it?
Yeah, they're all Cyberverse.
Holy crap! I want all of these.
Do they have drones in the bigger size, or are these the only place you can get those so far? Drones.
It's the only place you can see them. Now, hey. So, is Opposition
shipping?
Is Optimus Prime's torso the Minicon symbol? It kind of vaguely looks like it. On the picture...
Oh, that's the Ark. Well, the one in the back is the Ark. I don't know what this one in front
is. Yeah, they have the Ark in there, but it's just probably just that they all still interact with that stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's the Ark. I think it's pretty... It looks like it. It looks like a repainted version of the Ark.
There's a funny angle in that first pick, and I was like, wait, is that the... Yeah, that's
the... The bulkhead is extremely detailed, so that's why I thought it was not Cyberverse, but it is. It's got that Megatron size. It's definitely a commander size, but it definitely looks very interesting.
They're probably doing
cliff jumper at this size either.
I hope they're doing this like they do the Marvel figures, where they kind of like probably lose margin on like the Hulk figure because he's so freaking huge, but make it up on some of the others.
Yeah, like the RC.
Yeah.
Well, apparently they'd already bought some of that green plastic in bulk.
Holy crap! I guess that's Dark of the Moon Megatron. Is that what that is in Creo?
No, that's the same.
It's just regular G1.
That's just. Well, it's that Megatron is like the lovely marriage of G1 and movieverse things.
Yeah,
I kind of like.
There aren't any movie specific ones yet for Creo.
No, there's like a movie Prime and a G1 Prime.
Yeah, that's Megatron. That's movie like that. Megatron.
It's movie Bumblebee.
That's already out. I just don't have Sentinel Prime
for crying out loud. That's supposed to be movie Megatron.
True,
they just
you're
put
right.
like an attractive head on them because, you know, who could conscience bring that thing on something intentionally?
Okay, so let's go ahead and jump back to comic news with Amy Morgan. Yeah.
Sorry.
I couldn't find any information on that. Sorry, Brian.
That's okay.
I will find out.
I'll ask McFeely. He already has it.
Ask Chris.
He's asleep now, but...
Yeah. But, you know, if you don't get the information from Chris, I will get you something and then I'll let you know. So
awesome.
Okay, also, breaking news as of today. Did you like that zombie and Transformer crossover, anybody?
No.
We'll be getting more zombies and Transformers in February 2012 with Infestation number 2. We're going to get some art from Livio Ramadelli, although I don't think it's going to be specifically
on the wall with my brain.
But
Zombie JD.
Zombie JD smokes e-cigarettes. It's weird.
Yeah.
This is all true.
If you're undead, why do you care? Smoke the real stuff.
Yeah, there you go.
Undead robot.
Who's worked on Hearts of Steel, the Hearts of Steel timeline, and Guido Guidi will be doing the infestation by Weed.
So if you didn't care less that it was the infestation with Transformers thing, you could care even less than that because it's in the Heart of Steel's continuity.
Yeah.
Wow.
So as apathetic as you may have been.
I haven't read Hearts of Steel, so I can't tell you if I'm excited for this or not.
You're not, let me tell you.
Okay, well, I just had to put that out there.
Twain will take a flamethrower to all of them. It'll be great.
last little bit of news that I have. To get a free copy of Exiles, this nice book that just came out a week ago, go to my Facebook page at facebook.com/LadyWreck and answer a question. It's as easy as that. And, you'll be entered in my contest and you could win a free book.
Will you autograph it?
Why? I didn't write anything of it.
But you're the Lady Wreck.
Try to get it out of the house.
Obviously you're a fan. Obviously you're a fan, you know?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. We'll see. The contest closed October 1st, 21st, and while you're there, don't forget to sign my petition for High Moon to make us an art book of War for Cybertron concept art. So,
I'm all for that petition. I asked them to do that when I got to go play that preview.
Oh, yeah.
All about that. They had the art up all over the walls. I'm like, so you guys doing a book? Like, they looked like book pages to me. I'm like, so you guys putting a book out? And they're like, oh, you think we should? I'm like,
oh, yeah. Well, I talked with them at BotCon, and they said that they'd be interested, that if there's enough interest out there that they would do one. But here's the thing, and I thought, well, it's not that hard. Just put a petition online and see how many people sign it. You know, so I went ahead and did it. and we'll see how it goes. So, sign the petition, let them know, maybe they'll consider it. So, what do you got to lose? A signature.
Everybody go sign the petition, and I'm too polite to say anything about a contest Amy's running about that book.
Yeah. I can't recommend that the book is great, but if you want to get a free copy, I will give you one.
Yeah. Fantastic.
This chair I'm sitting on is a little wobbly. Come think of it.
Okay, let's. Who here watched One Shall Rise Part 2?
Oh, yeah, I finally caught up. I caught up.
Yay. Anybody like it?
Okay.
Spoiler alert,
well,
by the way.
I'd say Part 2 is the best of. I mean, the sort of. I know the first one isn't. Was not.
I liked
part
it.
One part 2, but I think the other one was still very much part of the same story. I'm not sure why it needed a different title.
I like this episode for one reason.
This episode is great. The whole thing altogether, though, I have some misgivings about.
The one thing I really like about this episode, though, is that there was a scene that was nothing but Optimus and the Autobots talking to Megatron.
Yes.
Nothing crazy had to happen. Yeah. They were just talking back and forth, and it progressed the story.
Yeah,
I like that a lot.
And like so many of the really good Prime episodes, very minimal human participation.
I hate Nico even more now.
That's really the key. And I got to say, in terms of like the season finale, it's very clear that for the season finale, that Ortsy and Kurtzman came back from their like 6-week lunch break they took after the pilot to come in and interfere with these. If only because it's like, now you will know Unicron as the Drama Llama.
The Drama
Llama. Oh, my God. All the melodramatic just... asinine crap.
It's a little cheesy.
Especially the one within the One Shall Fall episode was just unbearable. I've come to need him too. And the other problem is, I gotta say, no matter what you do, and this isn't even a flaw in the episodes themselves, like, it's just a question of, like, is this the end of your TV series? Because Unicron is the friggin' shark of the Transformers. That's why people resist him, like, we don't want him in the movies, and he shouldn't be in this part of the comic. Because he was made for that one movie by people who weren't thinking too hard about it. One was like, this is our movie, it needs to be the biggest Transformers story ever. And it was.
Let's put the Death Star in. Wait, we can't.
Big finales, they said the war ended. Prime was dead, Megatron's gone, all this stuff. And it's kind of like the biggest story is also the last story. And the third season always suffered from that, because it was like, even though it was kind of better in some ways, it was always like, why are we even still talking to you people? Didn't you already do, like, your whole, like, purpose of your existence, battled the devil, basically, blew him up? Like, you're not really done? And I think that's why you don't see Unicron that much, except as, like, the end. So I kind of felt like, even in, like, just right in the beginning of One Shall Fall, it's like, I must find more Dark Energon. Perhaps over there, Lord Megatron. Over that shark tank. Yes, Decepticons, over the shark tank. It's just like, oh, man. We really got to go here already. And I mean, like, didn't anyone else find something really cheesy about, like, Optimus Prime in a fist fight with Unicron?
My problem with that was the fact that for some reason they can't do action sequences because it all looks slow motion or stop motion or something is just looks broken with it. I don't know if it's like it doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't gel.
They're trying to do something stylized and they're doing it like the movie, and the movie does it here and there. But like the movie is a set amount of time. It's one thing. It happens at intervals, and then the movie ends.
Well, the movie is fast-paced.
You're doing a series, it's like, okay, we're doing the slow-mo thing again? You've done it, like, 73 times.
It just doesn't work, for some reason. Another thing I didn't like about the episode, and overall, I liked it, but that terrible moment when Miko threatened Megatron.
Oh, yeah. I hated that. Threatening. Oh, my gosh.
She's like, you're going to deal with me. I'm like, really?
My face will never be forgotten.
Oh, man. When they walked up to Megatron, I so wanted, like, a big Bambi versus Godzilla moment. Just, like, Megatron to, like, shift his foot, like, the equivalent of, like, 6 inches to us. And just, like, kill all three of them.
I like the stuff with him and... when him and
Raph. Like, what?
Megatron and Raph worked. And Megatron and Jack worked. Yeah. But yeah. Miko... No.
I hate Miko. She needs
Anya
to
was
die.
Just, yeah, Miko was just like, I want another line.
Yeah.
Like, we need to give Miko another line. Miko another line because she's not freaking annoying enough. So.
But I like the end. I like when Megatron said ominously, oh, he almost certainly knows that we're here. I like the fact that the eyeball at the end was looking around.
The Eye of Sauron?
Yeah.
I find Jack more annoying than the other two.
Really?
Aww,
just because he's such like a non-character. He's just like...
But he reminds Prime of the way Prime was when
they
he
say
was...
that, but they're like, he's like, yeah, sort of like, he sat in the corner and was useless, like, he didn't say anything, didn't show up much. Prime's like, I have seen much growth in you. And I'm like, what show are you watching?
You didn't...
All it does to me is remind me that, like, Spectacular Spider-Man isn't on anymore.
Didn't you read War Within? He was... No? Okay.
I did. And again, you know what? I think that was a really poor rendition of the origin of Prime. All these sort of everyman versions of it, I think, are crap. Yeah. I think it's an excuse not to have a proper origin. It's like, it's just so simple. It's like, oh, it's just so boring. It's another word for that. And, man, Jack is boring. It's like they took all the chins from Animated and put them into his forehead.
Yes.
Oh,
but yeah.
Has no chin. So
in general, it was a good episode.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that one, especially the second half, was very good. The other two, I was just very like, jeez.
Hey, let's go ahead and jump to chat. John, what's going on in chat this week?
Well, of course, right now we're talking about Prime. And I think people like it. I think overall the chat likes Unicron and how he's, being presented to us. So positive thoughts on that. Earlier in the show, one of the first things we talked about was Pink RC, how mistransformed she is, which is always fun. So that's something I think we've come to expect from PR shots, is the horribly mangled remains of a Transformer.
They kind of explain that, right? Because they're just like... We're going to give it to people, and they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, it's like no instructions, no nothing. Just give it to the photog, see what happens. The magic happens.
Amy,
right?
Heading out?
Yeah, I kind of do have to take off, so okay. Well, I just didn't want to interrupt
the
show.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Well, okay. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.
All right, thanks.
Bye, Amy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Amy's awesome. Amy.
So the one thing that we did get into a little bit was Creo. And I asked if or who in the chat was still into Creo, still paying attention. And the big thing that came out of the responses were, it seems like the Creons are way more popular than the Creo Transformers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's like unintended or
because of the critical dearth of super deformed Transformers from the North American market.
Well, yes. Also, yes. Because, we never got Kiss Play. We never got anything super Japanese.
No. We didn't need that. I mean, like, what are those, like, they call them PD formers, those little guys, and, there was some great, like little keychain crazy ones.
Like the Star Wars stuff and the Marvel Heroes stuff, that kind of thing, that kind of stuff.
In Japan, they get, like, really cute little versions of, like, all sorts of
I've got Bumblebee right here.
Awesome. They're, like, the fact of the matter is it speaks to our genetics. It's, like, what makes babies cute to everybody. Big head, big eyes, little body, and you take something you like and make it look like that, and everybody goes, I want one of those. That's, like, how we perpetuate the species, is with these, like, little triggers, and, like... Everybody loves those. I don't know why we never get those.
I don't think
what's wrong with me then, because I don't get that feeling when I look at
it. Yeah, I don't think it's the perpetuation of species is based around how cute babies are.
He actually hurls every time he sees a baby.
Yeah.
Baby.
I guess maybe the sense that we want to protect them.
Right.
They're so cute. But yeah, awesome. Anything
else,
John?
Nature's cutie.
I think that's probably about it. But it's just an interesting reaction on Creos that, they like the little throw-ins, not the actual... transforming robot.
Let's go ahead and jump to the TF Wiki Spotlight and Twitter Theater, and we'll be back right after this.
Hear the TF Wiki Spotlight each week with Chris McFeely on Radio Free Cybertron.
And it is time once again for the TF Wiki Spotlight, brought to us, per usual, by Chris McFeely. What do you have for us, sir?
Well, we're going to get topical and go the easy route this week. Yeah, because this week's TF Wiki Spotlight is going to be Movieverse Soundwave. Because, hey, The Dark of the Moon just came out on DVD and Blu-ray. And he's our featured article for this month because of that fact. So, you know, as a Movieverse character, he's got a lot of, like, weird little ancillary fiction that he was in and an extensive toy list. You would maybe be surprised at how many funky little Japanese versions of Soundwave there were and the various pieces of merchandise he received. His notes section contains quite an extensive history on the way they tried to work the character into the earlier film, into the first film, and into various adaptations. But because Soundwave, well, he's Soundwave, and Hasbro definitely kept a tight hold on how that character was going to work. He's got quite a big notes section, actually, because he was so closely monitored in the course of production to make sure they did him right. But his fiction section will probably be of interest to quite anybody who hasn't read any of the movie comic books, because it's funny how Soundwave's history up until just right before Dark of the Moon was nearly a complete blank, because all of the Revenge of the Fallen prequel comic books were like burdened with this this declaration, like, that they couldn't actually use or show any of the new characters who were going to be in Revenge of the Fallen. They just had to hint towards them, because they were like, everybody appears either in shadow or just in vehicle mode or only, like, very briefly in passing. And Soundwave is somebody who appears very briefly in passing. He's shown to leave Earth, leave Cybertron, rather, aboard the Nemesis thousands of years ago with the Fallen, and then big giant blank until the year 2007, when suddenly he's returning to the Earth's solar system somehow and somewhere. Well, the Dark of the Moon comics, written by John Barber, as well as the prose story Convergence, which was included in the individual issues of the adaptation, so, like, even less people will probably have read that, filled in this gap with the most amazing and thorough detail to tie everything that Soundwave ever did in the Movieverse together. You know, for every question that anyone has ever asked about how the Decepticons got human allies before Dark of the Moon, whenever Megatron was frozen, or where Soundwave came from, or where he went, or how he knew Dylan, or why they were friends, or anything, it's all in the comics, and you'll find an extensive history under the IDW section, as well as good solid looks at what he got up to in Titan as well, because Titan weren't so burdened with that instruction, and in the run-up to Dark of the Moon, they did a full-on movie prequel as well, which doesn't fit with the IDW stuff, but it centered on Skids and Mudflap and featured a much more scheming Soundwave with plans of his own that weren't necessarily what the Fallen hoped for. And post-Revenge of the Fallen, Soundwave got up to some crazy-ass japes. He went to the Bermuda Triangle for a little while, you know, stuff like that. And, of course, you get summaries of the films themselves and all the video games he appeared in as well. So it's pretty straightforward, but it's quite detailed. And if you didn't read the comics, liable to contain a lot of important info that will really broaden your sense of knowledge if you didn't read them. So Soundwave is this week's TF Wiki Spotlight.
Twitter Theater is spookier than the pumpkin-headed guy on the real Ghostbusters cartoon.
Hey guys, it's Rob from Twitter Theater this week. And if you haven't seen it yet, check out tfradio.net/video. This week's Twitter Theater, you know, continuing our Halloween Hootenanny Super Spooky Spectacular, is the obvious choice. I know some of you people hate obvious choices, but that's because you guys are obviously got sticks up your butts. It's A Long Came a Spider, the only episode of Transformers to actually take place on Halloween that I know of. That's a good one. You got, Sari, because you know it's animated. Sari dresses up as Optimus Prime to go trick-or-treating with Bumblebee and Bulkhead. Bumblebee dresses up as Dracula, which is pretty cool. In fact, I think I might end up making a little cape for one of my Bumblebee figures so he can be Dracula. And, Bulkhead, who wears, like, a chemical tent or something. One of those, they sort of fumigate bugs out of buildings. As basically, he was going as a ghost, and he found a sheet big enough to dress up as a ghost, and everyone walks around just little poofs coming out. It's not too unlike Pigpen in The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, when Pigpen's sheet's so dirty, and he's got little clouds of smoke coming out of his sheet, because he's nasty.
Nasty.
Nasty boys. And of course, it sort of works out doubly because, you know, spiders are all Halloween, and it makes the animated debut of Black Arachnia. She makes her animated debut. Pausing. Step away from the camera. Take a breath. Come back. You know, it works out, and of course it does a whole little background story of Black Arachnia and stuff in the animated setting, and it's really fun. I'd like more trick-or-treating. I'd like, who do you think Optimus would have dressed up as, you know? I'd like to see more Halloween hijinks. Sort of like the Halloween episode of a sitcom or whatever. You know, like, Ratchet's got a knife through his head, and he's... And it's like, oh, he's got the knife through his head. And, Prowl would have dressed up as... an Indian with a headdress and the arrows. I could see it. It'd be kind of further of a... Ooh, he could look like a spirit from G.I. Joe. It'd be a little sort of an Easter egg-y thing. He could be like Spirit from G.I. Joe. Because if you guys remember, Spirit used to kind of kung fu fight Storm Shadow in the first episode of G.I. Joe before they decided to have Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow fight all the time. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. He could be Snake Eyes, but that wouldn't really be much of a costume for him. He's already a ninja. Optimus would be Batman. Yeah, well, no, that's a little too, I don't already superheroes, and there's already, Bumblebee's already Dracula, which is kind of baddie. And, you know, we don't need another reason to put Batman in the wiki. No, he doesn't need to be a pony. You guys cut that out. You're getting creepy. Optimus would be Frankenstein. Optimus Prime could be Frankenstein. You know, it'd be cool. It's a shame more Decepticons weren't in that episode, because it'd be cool to have a whole lot of creepily costumed Decepticons. You know, it'd be fun. But they didn't do that, of course. You know, in episodes, Halloween served a backdrop setting, not the focal point. But that's okay. I guess everything can't be about Halloween. If I had my way, it would be. Have, like, robot cigar store Indians murdering everybody, and that wouldn't work out, because the cigar store Indian in Creepshow 2 was, like, the good guy in that story. Anyway. Oh, I know. Robot Jason's there, and Optimus is like, don't even take out the trash, and he pulls out his axe and starts chopping their heads off. Yeah. I'm rambling. Anyway, this is Rob. Check it out. Twitter Theater is all up in his house. I'm so awesome when I say stuff like that. Back to the guys at RFC. Thanks for watching. I don't know what to do now.
Help support the podcast. Take our PodTrack advertising survey at tfradio.net/survey. We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
Hey, we're back. And better than ever. Sorta. Hey,
I'm back.
Actually,
I've
got something. JD.
Yeah.
This week in history.
That's way more epic.
Yeah.
And it deserves. So, talking about how great season 3 was, let's see. October 14th, and that would be 1986. I guess that was it season 2? Yeah, it was season 3. Episodes Carnage in C Minor.
Oh.
The U.S. Pretty much the worst episode.
That's it. I'm out of here. I'd forgotten all about that one.
Yeah. Has any other episode of any other Transformers series been that bad?
No, I don't think so.
You got to look at Cybertron and Energon, really.
Yeah, there's got to be something in Cybertron.
You know what, though? No, because it's also within, like, terms of context. Like,
yeah.
You tune in to Energon or Cybertron, you're only, you know, there's only, like, it's only going to get so good. You know what I mean? Like, you turn into a G1, even, you know, I know they're dated and they're whatever the hell, but that was just, like, at the time and now and, you know, anywhere in between. That show's going for about 10 minutes, and you're just like, holy crap! What were you thinking?
Like, who approved?
All those people in their little sing-song voices and the bad modulation. And after all that modulation, they, like, forget to modulate Soundwave, who hasn't been on in, like, 5 years.
So he's doing the Dr.
Like
Claw voice.
He's, the Galvatron after, like, his exile or whatever, I guess. And he's, like, Dr. Friggin' Claw!
Yeah.
She's like, oh my god.
Man, I love Carnage in C minor.
Someone approved that, you know?
Not really wrote guys, that. It's like, he's like, and then, like, you know, speaking of Masters of the Universe, these, like, He Man reject characters standing, like, stand as tall as a Transformer, just about. I mean, it was just like.
Yeah.
What were you like?
Season 3 was great.
It was great.
it actually has, like, a lot of really good episodes, and it has some of the best writing in the whole series. I mean, some of it, not all of it.
I mean,
but I mean, like, the idea had evolved a little bit. Writers were getting a little more used to it. It had a more complex universe that was more its own. It wasn't always just like, we need gas, you know? I mean, like,
except for Wardon, like, all of the good G1 episodes are in season 3.
We can only afford one backdrop. It had, like, you know, Web Planet it called or something? Like, an, you know, actually, like, all Decepticon episodes, which was kind of cool. It has, you know, certainly has its ups and it has its downs, but unfortunately, yeah, this particular down is about as far down as it went on TV ever.
There you go.
It's a good argument to, like,
pull that out in 2 days and watch it to commemorate
Carnage in C minor, the title even, it's one of those things that makes you think of, like, a movie called Slow Torture.
That's the 25th, actually. That'll be the 25th anniversary of that episode in two days. So.
Wow, that's awesome. Actually, we were going
never
to talk...
Never need to watch that again.
I'm
going to pull that out.
I love that
just
episode.
Just make my wife watch it again.
So, because it's the 12th anniversary, we were going to talk about... Beast Machines, because it literally debuted the month before Radio Free Cybertron debuted. That's how freaking long we've been around. That gives you some context. We've been doing we're ahead of the curve, but we're running long, so we'll actually table that discussion for till next week. So, guys, be thinking
the anniversary discussion for the non-anniversary show.
Exactly.
Be thinking about
Beast Machines. Be thinking about Beast Machines. So, we actually coming up next for those watching live, we have the 100th episode of New Soundwave. So, for the guys and for Amy Morgan, who's not here, we'll be back next week with Bells On. With Bells On.
I actually spend an embarrassing amount of time thinking about Beast Machines.
Me too. I love Beast Machines. But we'll be back next week with Radio Free Cybertron, episode year 12, episode 2. Stay tuned for New Soundwave.
The next degeneration.
The next degeneration.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.